to tonight's meeting. I want to let everyone know that the board did meet in executive session at 5:00 to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. And although it is posted within the meeting room, I want to advise everyone attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Please join me now in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Member Rick Demuda?
Here.
Member Mark Moyer?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Chairwoman Susan Court?
Here. I also want to remind everyone to please silence your cell phones if you haven't taken a moment to do that yet this evening. Please look forward. Now we'll begin with our first session of visitor and public comments. All public sessions in the Township of Derry are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes, and speakers are asked to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. If you'd like to make some comments, we ask that you just come to the podium, let us know your name and your address.
Harry Susie, 86 Ridgeview Road, Homestown. It's a little over a year ago that I stood before this board and expressed my concern and displeasure with the $32 million Taj Mahal Rec Center that is totally unnecessary for the citizens of Derry Township. It appears to me you were influenced by a very, very small group of citizens and outside special interest groups. You were voted in to be good stewards of the township taxpayer money and to be fiscally responsible in this project, and I think you failed. I'm not sure how you lost focus, but you did. We have no swim club. We have no swim pool for the summer. We have no swim pool for the Hershey Park Club, no swim pool for the school, and you have no plan B. Moving forward, I recommend that this board make no decision on the new rec center. In fact, I'm concerned of any large financial decisions you make moving forward. I think you have to really hold your line. I think the taxpayers have lost confidence in your decision making. In closing, due to the debacle that you brought upon the township, and to save further poor decisions and embarrassment, I think it would be appropriate for this board to resign and let the new group come in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Susie.
Good evening. My name is Ashley Zagaceta. I'm the resident at 1028 West Aurora Avenue here in Hershey. I want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak to you tonight. We've heard a great deal from the Cars Group. They have concerns about their reckless spending on projects that are not in the best interest of the majority of our community and its members. Though I respect their right to state this opinion, I have to say that I respectfully disagree. I am here today to represent a new group of individuals, the CARE team. We are a team committed to achieving recreation for everyone. My family represents three generations living in Derry Township. We were all very excited when we heard and saw the plans for the proposed new community recreation center. We knew that having a center like that would provide so many fantastic opportunities for all members of the community to enjoy all year long. We knew building it was going to cost a lot of money. Our taxes would go up slightly, about the cost of our family dining out 3 to 4 times. We knew it would mean putting more hours in for fundraising and volunteering at aquatic events held in the new pool, because it's these aquatic events that would generate revenue for the community center, as well as increase revenue for our local hotels, restaurants, shopping, and entertainment venues in our community. We knew that this center and our community were counting on this revenue to help offset some of the cost of building and maintaining this new center. It was going to be worth it, though. We know that there was and still is resistance to building it. The expense is very high, but we are confident that once it is built, The community will see it as a great investment in our community members' futures. The new community center would meet the needs of our communities that the current center is not able to do. It has space to adequately provide for the many teens that utilize the rec center after school and on weekends as a safe place to hang out with their friends. It has space to provide child care so parents and grandparents could have peace of mind knowing their child was in a safe and nurturing environment while they took advantage of the opportunity to take care of their minds and bodies, utilizing the weight room, the indoor track, the cycling studio, the yoga studio, basketball courts, and pools. It had a space for our senior residents to house the new senior center. Seniors would be able to meet up with friends to chat, play cards, and participate in classes and activities designed specifically for them. The fitness center and pools would allow for expanded offerings of water fitness classes and wellness classes just for them. It had meeting spaces that could provide adequate space for community informational meetings, family programming, receptions, daddy-daughter dances, mommy and me tea parties, and other special events. It provided spaces for dance classes, karate classes, rec basketball programs, rec volleyball programs, and other youth activities. It had adequate cool space to allow for us to continue to support our master's swim program, our high school swim team, our Hershey Aquatic Club swimmers, our synchronized swimming team, our diving team, our water aerobic classes, swim lessons, and our Special Olympic athletes, plus be able to add programs such as water polo, scuba classes, and additional water safety programs. It was going to allow the entire community to not only enjoy the fun space of our current 50-meter and 25-yard pool that those provide in the summer, but allow them to enjoy this fun all year long when we bring our current water spaces indoors. We were very disappointed when we heard that the proposed plan is now off the table. We understood the reason why. The bids had come up above the budgeted amount and had to be rejected as a result. It was considered financially not possible. However, my family and I remain very hopeful that a new plan is being created, one that still provides for all of the needs that have been mentioned here. We want to encourage you to do whatever you can to ensure that these needs are not forgotten as you move forward in the process of building a new community recreation center. We still need a center that will meet our entire community's current needs, as well as future needs for generations to come, needs that are not being met with our current community recreation center. Thank you.
Anyone else? And we do have two sessions of public comment, so if you'd like to wait till later, you're welcome to do that as well.
I want to thank the lady for identifying all the things that do benefit the children and the members of our community. But let me remind you, if you're going to get into competitive business, take a look at everything she said is being provided by private entrepreneurs. Why are we going to get into competition? Like the gentleman that talked to you about the Granada Club, I thought when you entered in the agreement, you weren't going to be competing against me. You know, so what I'm asking is that this plan that we worked on 5 years, okay, obviously didn't come out the way everybody expected, and there was a lot of doubt that it would. What I'm asking now is that we start from ground zero, new designers, new everything, just pass everybody to the side. They failed on the first approach. But at this point, what I'm asking, that we initiate a survey to every, quote, Derry Township resident, like we did when we wanted to do the downtown redevelopment. These are the people that are actually paying the bill. Yes, it's nice to bring in people from out of town, hotels benefit, but it doesn't benefit me. You know, like I said, start from scratch, and this can't be done in 6 months. And if this board puts together a plan within the next 6 months, why did it take you 5 years to get to this point? So really, consider what people are telling you. And the survey, I think, is very, very important. We've asked for a referendum. Yes, I'm in support of these kids getting what they want, but you know what? Let them pay for it. I went to college, I paid for it. They want to go to a swim meet, let them pay for it. I don't think the residents of the Derry Township pay for their extracurricular activities other than what the township has already provided without being in competition. Dancing, karate, yoga, all that stuff's available in our town, which we brought those businesses into the town. Now you want to drive them out. Thank you.
Pam Rebel, 241 Bahia Avenue. So I want to thank the supervisors for their continued efforts to give the residents of our township the much-needed community center that we need. I was disappointed, as I know you all were, that the bids came in higher than anticipated. I believe it was part of the result of a booming economy that we're in right now. Every contractor is busy, so the timing of the bid letting didn't seem to go in our favor, because when contractors are busy, prices go up. It's a simple supply and demand situation. As someone who works for a contractor, has a family business in construction, I know when things are busy, you don't buy a project. You make sure you're covering what you need. So I'm not sure what your solution is, but I'm asking you to continue moving forward. I ask, as you do move forward, that you do not cut the cost, revamp the original plan that would cut out the 50-meter indoor pool. That 50-meter pool will help defray the operating costs of the facility, because they can raise revenue holding swim meets, synchronized swimming meets, water polo matches. A 50-meter pool gives water time to competitive swimmers, synchronized swimmers, Special Olympics swimmers, community lap swimmers, learn to swim swimmers, aqua-side swimmers, and the list goes on and on. People are drawn to swimming. Please don't limit what can happen in this community by limiting that size of that pool. My husband and I are both committed to this new recreational center. We have personally made donation to the capital campaign. My parents, who live outside of Derry Township, have also made a donation, as they have had competitive swimmers in their kids and their grandchildren. My mother's life was saved because of a relationship I made sitting in that current rec center with another swim parent. When my mother got very ill and her doctor said, "You need to see this neurologist." And she said to me, "What am I going to do?" And I said, "I sit with him every night while we wait for our kids to finish swim practice." I asked him to see her. He saw her that week. He told me if I hadn't known him, he would not have been able to see her for 6 months. She would not have lasted for 6 months. That was 10 years ago, and she is still living. So a community center builds relationships. So I'm asking you that you continue to move forward. I know you're put in a hard position. I know the bids didn't come in where we needed them to come in, but I ask that you keep moving forward. There are many of us that appreciate all that you have done. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris Latrell. I live at 254 Cedar Avenue in Hershey, and what Ashley and Pam said, they speak much better than I do, so I agree with everything they're saying. I wanted to speak up and also thank the current supervisors who've spent countless hours on the planning of the new community center. About 10 years ago, I got involved with a group of people from Hershey to address the needs of the community with a new pool and a recreation center. I attended several meetings with the community leaders, the school board, the township supervisors, ICDA, Hershey Company, Hershey Hospital. This has been going on for a long time, and I don't know if all the public realizes that we've needed this. We formed focus groups, we traveled to other local pools in central Pennsylvania area, and attended seminars about building community centers with pools. I used the current rec center, I used it back in the late 70s, early 80s, and swam with the Hershey team while I represented Lower Dolphins, who did not have a team or a pool at the time. I moved to Arizona for 10 years after college and returned back in the area in the mid-90s. I found the rec center to be fairly unchanged since my days spent there. Now, over 20 years later from that, it still remains the same. I want to compliment our township for keeping it operating for much longer than the life expectancy of the pool. Good job, Matt. I have three children who swam competitively for Hershey Aquatic Club. They also all worked for the township at the recreation center, and I served as president for Hershey Aquatic Club and meet director over the years. I worked with Matt and Zach a lot of times when we would have large meets come in. I've probably bent his ear a couple times saying, I've been so excited for the new, I wanted to go to him and say, I want to help you get these meets in here and get everything running because I want to see your efforts for doing this to pay off. And I know it can with the 50 meter pool. The team has a great reputation and the town has a great reputation and people love coming to Hershey. So I want you to know that I am in complete support of a 50 meter pool for the community center. We currently have a 50 meter pool that is outside. It no longer is able to be used for competition. It's too shallow for the current rules. By moving that 50 meter pool inside, now you have 12 months of use a year instead of only three. Biggest point that I think every time I hear someone speak up to get rid of the 50 meter and make it 25 to save money is the opposite effect that I think it'll have. The types of meets that it will attract 50 meters far surpasses what a 25 yard pool can do. It also allows our whole community to utilize it any hour of the day. It provides many more benefits than just the increased water area. You can have swim team practice, swim lessons, diving all taking place at the same time. I could go on for a long time and I won't, but I'm happy to give all the background that we've learned over the 10 years for anyone who wants to ask. Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Dennis Trout, 2010 Locust Lane. I'm directing my comments to at least four of the five supervisors. I feel Mr. Moyer has done the best job that's been possible on reviewing what some of us know as the six or seven P's of success. Prior, planning, prevents, painful problems. With that said, I want to address some comments that have been made in the press. Over 3 years ago, on the 12th of February, 2016, Steve McKeel, staff writer for LancasterOnline.com, wrote an article titled, After Dropping Two Local Sites, Aquatic Center Developer Now Eyes Hershey. Those sites dropped for very good reason. That article reported, a prepared statement, Justin Engel, a township supervisor and chairman of the Industrial Commercial Development Authority, welcomed the prospective venue. Engel said, quote, we are in a unique position to leverage the fact that we are a tourist destination to achieve the results of having a world-class aquatic facility in the township without using taxpayer dollars, unquote. It is my understanding that the Industrial and Commercial Development Authority was also advised that the Hershey Community Center competitive swimming sports venue would also help fill hotels and restaurants. If there is any reason to help fill existing hotels, restaurants, why has the Board of Supervisors also voted to increase the number of new hotels, gas stations, convenience stores, restaurants, strip malls, and Derry Township? Supervisor Engel, where is the leverage that you claimed 3 years ago, and why are the taxpayers being saddled with paying $3 million a year for the next 20 years, that's $60 million, in order to help reduce estimated community center operating deficits by only $200,000? Spending $3 million to save a deficit of $200,000? I don't know where you guys went to school, but Hershey High taught me better math. It appears that the hotels, restaurants, amusement parks, developers, and realtors have actually leveraged you and three other board members to fund something to benefit them at $60 million of taxpayer expense over the next 20 years. The residential property taxpayers should not be required to support those businesses in which they choose not to be clientele. Based upon the infographics that some of the members of the Board of Supervisors have prepared that obfuscate the facts and costs to the taxpayers, it appears that the actual beneficiaries of the $3 million per year will be the hotels, restaurants, convenience stores, amusement parks, developers, and realtors. Supervisor Engel, your bio reads that you are a real estate broker licensed in Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland, and serves as a broker of record for various commercial real estate interests, and that you have worked across the entire commercial and real estate spectrum as a broker, developer, investor, and advisor. Mr. Engel, the supervisors have a thankless job. I can appreciate the problems and stress you all are in, but any supervisor that might appear to directly or indirectly benefit from decisions before the board must recuse themselves from voting on such issues and ethically should abstain from preparing arguments, infographics, preparation, and presentations that he viewed as self-serving.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
I have just one sentence yet. Finally, the township should not be in competition with other recreation and fitness businesses. There are plenty of space in the existing high school gym facilities to take on most of what has been mentioned here. Why not use that space as well as a gathering point and place for activities, and do as was suggested by Mr. Susi and others to do the proper planning first. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing none, thank you all for your comments. We will now move on to the next item on our agenda tonight, and that is the adoption of the minutes for the Board of Supervisors meeting from April 9th, 2019. Do I have a motion to approve? Moved by Mr. Engel.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zabuda. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That motion carries. Moving on to new business, we had promised we're going to continue as we have been to provide an update on the community center and discussions and how we move forward. And Mr. Mandia and Mr. Christman are going to provide an update for us this evening.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll take over for Matt this evening. He was away last week, so he missed out on some of the fun opportunities we had to have some meetings earlier in the week. So as the board is aware, at our last meeting, we discussed very intently the bids that came through, and it was our charge to go back and begin looking at the project from top to bottom and begin to have some discussions internally about where things should go. Supervisor Engel and Supervisor Ware and Zabuda and others have joined during the week for these informal meetings where we're trying to get some ideas on the table as far as some delivery methods and what they may do and how they may impact ultimately the final bid numbers as they would come in at a future time. We also looked at competition. You know, we heard a lot about that tonight from some of our residents this evening, and we're starting to peel back that onion layer and look at what does that necessarily mean in the context of our community center. And really where we should be angling our discussion, our thinking towards. I know this isn't like totally in depth, but that is the only report I have tonight. We have not made any substantive results or observations that I can report tonight other than we are beginning to meet and try to have those conversations.
Do you have anything to share on top of that? Questions for Chris? Welcome back tonight.
And I know we've spoken about this first with several of the supervisors. The way I see the current situation is that we essentially, for lack of a better term, we have three scenarios that I think we can look at going forward. And there are some that think on the board that perhaps $32 million was our budget number, and we should stick with that amount and work the project to better facilitate the bidding coming in at or below that amount. There's another school of thought that what I call a top-down approach, and that is we take the current $32 million design and winnow portions of that down to come to some sort of agreement. And the third approach is what I call the bottom-up approach, and that's the one that I advocated for last week, where we use the current rec center as a base and then expand upon that by adding features as we go on to a point where we have a state-of-the-art facility that we all can be proud of. What I think is really important is that under those two latter approaches that we strive as soon as possible to come up with a budget number for the center and actually plan for that budget, whatever that may be. I said that at the last meeting, I think $32 million project was way too expensive to build, maintain, and repair, and that I believe the overwhelming number of our residents agree with me in that it's way too expensive, and for that reason I suggested that that budget figure be $20 million and that we actually plan to that number. Keep it in mind that whatever scenario we adopt, we have to remind ourselves that we not only have to pay to build the building, but we have to pay to repair and maintain that building. And as I might have mentioned to several of you, the Friendship Center in Lower Paxton, they need to replace 14 heat exchangers, only two of which cost $800,000 to repair and replace. And so my concern, as I indicated before, is that whatever we look at, that scenario envisioned the cost to repair and maintain this over the course of the years. So my point in all this is, regardless of whether we adopt the top-down approach or the bottom-up approach, I think one of the first steps that we need to take is to come to a dollar figure, a budget, plan to that number, and provide any consultants that we use with that number so that we at least have a target to plan for. Otherwise, I think we run the risk of once again planning a community center feature by feature, which ends up exceeding our budget tolerance. So as we move forward, I want to encourage us to try to come to a consensus on a dollar figure. I'm advocating a $20 million target. So.
I think it's important, Martin, as you said, to keep a number in mind. And I think the fact that we are stopping right now to re-examine everything, I think we would all agree, is not a bad thing. And I think keeping a range in mind at least will help as we move forward with all the different discussions and kind of auditing what's out there and what we might do to either rework the project, look at how we put it out for bid again, and it's not one simple thing that's going to make this work. And I know, I think I can speak for all of us, that even though our approaches may not always all be the same, we do all want the same thing. And we recognize that we can't make everyone in this room happy, let alone everyone in this community, but we do want to do what is best for this community, and we're going to continue to work together to try to find what that solution is. What can we do to provide the most benefits to the community at the most affordable price that we can? So we appreciate, I appreciate all the work of this board and certainly of Matt and Chris and everyone who's worked on this and the input from the community and the patience of the community as we try to put all these very many pieces together. I personally would not like to see us start from scratch. There's been an awful lot of work already invested, and I think we've got a lot of good information in our fingertips, and I think we can use that to really fine-tune a project that's meaningful to the majority of the community and also manageable, both today in building it and moving forward in the future. Anybody else want to add anything? All right. Thanks. Good conversation. We will now move on to the next item on our agenda, authorizing the township financing team to proceed with the 2019 bond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Similar to what we were talking about a few weeks ago, there are some outstanding items in the 2019 budget that require the township to go out and seek general obligation bonds to finance those projects for their completion. Tonight, simply, we're recommending that the board authorize the township's financial team to begin that process, to begin to draw together all of the numbers that are in the budget to refine what the borrowing would be. And it would, you know, include all of those items that were previously approved in the budget process. So really, we're asking tonight for the board to make a motion to authorize RBC Capital Markets as our underwriter, Public Financial Management Incorporated as our financial advisor, and McNeese Wallace and Newark LLC as our bond counsel to prepare all of our necessary documents for this general obligation bond series of 2019.
Do you have any questions, Chris?
Yeah. Mr. Chris, would you be willing to enumerate the items underneath that's for this bond?
Certainly.
Public, please.
The items that we are looking at, we've budgeted previously, or at least had internal discussions of the road improvement projects, that two of which are on the agenda later this evening for Sand Hill Road and Bullfrog Valley Road. That's about a $2 million estimate to complete those projects. The landfill improvement project, as the board is aware, we're allocating about $1 million to finally close out that landfill and cap it according to DEP regulations. We would retire the line of credit that the township put in place at $1.55 million to cover costs for the design for the community center project. And we would also reimburse township general fund expenses that have been utilized to date for the design efforts for the community center project. That total was, in essence, and still some bills are outstanding, that coming in about $602,000. And lastly, there's about $456,000 of capital projects allocated in the budget that this would cover. So all in all, we're just coming in under about $5 million. And insofar as the timing is concerned, if you authorize us this evening to move forward with beginning the process to secure the bonds, we would look to come back before the board in May to adopt the parameters of the ordinance and size the bonds appropriately, and then settlement would be at some point in June.
Did you mention the two road projects?
Yes, Sand Hill Road and Bullfrog Valley.
Yes. Any other questions? Do I have a motion to authorize the administration to work with RBC Capital Markets as bond underwriter, Public Financial Management Inc. as financial advisor, and McNeese Wallace and Newark LLC as bond counsel to prepare the necessary documents for the issuance of Township of Derry General Obligation Bonds in series of 2019? Moved by Mr. Zmuda, seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, the preliminary final subdivision land development plan for Middletown Road, site plat number 1312. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This plan represents the subdivision land development of a 5.175 acre tracted land located along Middletown Road. It's south of Joanne and north of the Scudero Creek Road, and it's immediately west of Dartmouth Farms. This proposal is to subdivide the property into four residential lots, each containing a single family dwelling. The property is located in the conservation district of the township's zoning regulations and is also overlaid by the Middletown Road overlay district. Our zoning ordinance goes on to say that if the property has existed in its current configuration since December 23rd, 1978, that it may be subdivided, in the conservation district, that it may be subdivided into a maximum of five development lots. In this case, results in four lots is what they were able to meet the minimum lot width for. The Middletown Overlay District itself demands an additional 15-foot wide easement to fulfill the ideas on the official map of widening Middletown Road in the future. So in addition to a right-of-way dedication on this plan of 32.5 feet, there will be another 15-foot reserve for future easement, and that is what the building setback line is measured from. The overlay along Middletown Road also requires some access management. And in this case, it requires that the properties are accessed by shared driveways, which you can see on the plan that's projected. Stormwater management for the project is being handled by 2 stormwater facilities. The first facility is a swale that will be constructed to the rear of the property. It will pick up the water from Stone Creek Detention Base number 5 and route it around the property. The second facility is a proposed vegetated swale with check dams along the frontage of the property. It will be constructed parallel to Middletown Road outside of the 15-foot easement that I just discussed. And it will direct stormwater from the facility into a rain garden facility proposed on lot number 1. Stormwater from the rain garden will ultimately discharge into inlet 1.1, which connects to the existing storm system in Middletown Road. This plan came in with a series of waiver requests. They've requested the standard not showing plans and profiles of utilities that are affected by, or that are not affected by the development, and the Planning Commission staff recommended that waiver be granted. They've asked for, actually they were willing to pay a fee in lieu of curbing and sidewalks along Middletown Road. Planning Commission and staff feel that a deferment is the appropriate action in this case, and is asking for the deferment agreement. We see a time along Middletown Road where the sidewalk system may extend through this property. They've asked for a waiver of corner property monumentation. That's really related to the shared driveway being also a property corner for each of the lots. And in that case, they've asked to put in a magnetic nail, which is a standard surveyor marker for impervious surfaces like we have for concrete. They initially asked for a waiver of the aquifer testing that's required by the ordinance. Each of these lots will be serviced by on-lot wells, even though they are within the isolation distance from fire hydrants that we require. Because they're in their conservation district, there is a clause in the ordinances that allow them to not have to connect to public water. However, we then require an aquifer study. They've asked for minor relief from some of the requirements of the aquifer study. HRG has reviewed the aquifer study and finds it to be entirely acceptable. The applicant had retained Advantage Engineers to provide the analysis for the development. The report notes that adequate water exists to serve the four-lot subdivision. Testing did show slightly elevated levels of nitrates in the well that they tested. However, it was an older well that may not have been case to today's standards. Even if it has slightly high nitrate levels in the water in that area, that's easily treated. Staff is recommending approval of Plat 1312 based on the following items being addressed: that the applicant reimburse the township for costs incurred in reviewing the plan no later than May 23rd, 2019; that the following items happen prior to October 23rd, 2019, that performance security is provided to guarantee the completion of the required improvements, and the exchange agreement to provide financial security is signed, that the applicant revises their consumer disclosure statement in conformance with the requirements of the subdivision land development ordinance, that the $5,509.76 fee in lieu of parkland dedication is paid, that the final shared access agreements for the shared driveways are provided for township consideration, that the comments of HRG's April 8th, 2019 letter are adequately addressed, that 2 originals of the signed and notarized agreement for the deferment of the curbing and sidewalk installation be provided, that 2 originals of the BMP for the stormwater are provided, and finally, that the CD or DXF or AutoCAD digital file, that a CD of a DXF or AutoCAD digital file are provided. And then also that the agreement for the deferment of curbing and sidewalk is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the stormwater dust management practices is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the deeds referencing the stormwater dust management practice are recorded concurrently with the plan, and finally, that the deed of dedication for right-of-way along Middletown Road is recorded concurrently with the plan.
Chuck, anyone have any questions?
Yeah, Chuck, I have a couple of questions. Not hard, but they're easy ones. But what was the reason they didn't want to connect to the public water?
It was the cost. It was actually how far they have to go. It's really odd what's happened at Dartmouth Farms. The water came down in front of the old Dutch Village center.
Right.
It went back the road, came around, and back out. So these properties along Middletown Road, the front of Middletown Road, are on wells.
Oh, they are.
They weren't going to sign on for the water. However, people further back in the development, more in the concentration of development, were willing to. So in order to tie to water, they would have to extend the water main along Middletown Road. And for four lots, I think that is a big burden to carry. And again, I think that's part of the reason why our ordinances allow lots in the conservation district a little bit more leeway in tying to public water than if this was our water.
That makes sense. The other question I had was the driveways. I saw there was a PennDOT review pending. Did that come out yet?
Catch it. There's no permit been issued yet.
Okay.
And it will be the responsibility of the property owners to maintain the stormwater features, or is that...
That's correct. This is for four lots. They're doing it without a homeowners association, so it'll revert to the individual property owner to maintain the facility. And that's part of the L&M agreement. That's very, very similar to if somebody would go out and build on a freestanding lot in their intention today. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't even have to build. Some additions require a stormwater area and an O&M agreement.
Thank you. I really can't overstate my grave concern about flooding in that area after having witnessed what has happened at Dartmouth Farms and in that area on Middletown Road over the last couple of years. If you could again highlight whether you believe the stormwater management protocols being implemented for these properties will not worsen and may in fact even assist in that.
So I'm going to turn the mic over to Matt to answer some of that, but I also want to make the board aware, we created a stormwater authority, and that stormwater authority has been trying to mitigate issues like this. And in this case, we have a preliminary report for Dartmouth Farms that was done with the Corps of Engineers, really spearheaded by Dairy Township Municipal Authority, that really took a good study of this area. And there's a couple of interesting things and again, this is a draft report. Matt reviewed it on behalf of DTMA and forwarded back about 30 comments. There are some interesting things within this report. This report found that a lot of the upland development, upland of Dartmouth Farms, which created impervious area, also created some stormwater holding areas where the pre-development of that and the post-development of that, the post-development is actually producing less water at the 50-year storm, from the 50-year storm melt. some good developments do bring forward good changes. Here in this case, again, I'm going to turn the mic over to Matt for more specifics on this project.
Okay, and I do with one or two more.
Sure.
Follow up.
You can bring the plan up. Yeah, so Mark, I had the same concerns when this plan first came in, and initially they had their stormwater management design was a very small rain garden. Here, about half the size of that, and then they had a detention basin located in this corner. That design met the rates of the ordinance, but I wasn't in favor of it because it didn't treat the impervious surface that was being added to the plan. So Brandon and I worked through a different design, and now they have a vegetated swale coming down there that has amended soils mix, so it'll absorb water, slow the water down, has a grass swale in there, and then particularly on the bottom swale between the road and the homes, we had them design that as a bio swale. So that has 8 inches of amended soils underneath it. It has check dams to slow the water down, has 2 culvert points, additional vegetation, and all that is prior to it getting into the rain garden. So a lot of the water that is going to hit the site is going to be absorbed through those stormwater facilities. In addition, the quality of water will be better because it's going through the soil and the vegetation. Plus, there's 2 additional water quality filters in the bioretention area. So it does meet the rate requirements, so you will see less water come off the site. It does meet the water quality requirements of the ordinance.
And Matt, how much of those features that you just described are dependent on homeowner maintenance and upkeep to make sure that that sort of those efficiencies built into those will be maintained?
Yeah, all that. That's part of the owner agreement. We have to make sure that when it's built, it's not compacted, that the it's installed correctly. Switch mics.
My concern is that as time goes on, sometimes homeowners are not as diligent as they should be in maintaining portions of their property that may not be all that important to them, but could have some significant drainage impact.
Sure. And that's why we try to have the easements on it. We have disclosure statements, all the notes. I think we do everything that we can right now to let the property owners know before they buy it, what is on the ground, and then with the inspection and operation and maintenance that needs to happen.
What sort of enforcement mechanisms do we have as a township to make sure that those mechanisms are operating and being maintained properly?
Yeah, so there's no on plan saying that at least once a year they have to do an inspection, and they should be submitting their inspection report to the township as part of their MS4 compliance.
Okay, so it'll be up to us to make sure that we'll check with Chuck to make sure that they...
Does DTMA get involved in that?
That would go with... That's part of what we delegated to DTMA.
Okay, all right, excellent. Thank you, Matt. Chuck, you mentioned the first 4 lots. Is there anything more in the planning for that lot?
No. So because it's in the conservation district, although they could have created 5 lots by density, by what the ordinance allows, they still have to abide by the minimum lot width requirement. So by minimum lot width, they could get 4 lots on this property. Okay. There's no residue lands to be developed.
Okay. If I recall correctly, there was a development that was proposed called Creekside Villas at Hershey for that area.
There was a zoning change that was
requested.
Yeah.
Yeah, where does this property fit into that?
The zoning change would have tied this property and some other properties together that were owned in common, and the other properties are generally where I'm moving the mouse to the east of this property.
To the east, okay.
And some of that property is not zoned conservation today. Some of it is zoned, I believe, R1.
Yeah.
However, this plan effectively severs that cobbling together of the other properties. I believe the intent is that if any development is done over here, it would be done on the existing lots that lay there.
Okay, all right, thank you. That's fine, thank you.
Okay, so Chuck, I love sidewalks, but can you explain why you think that there could be a need for sidewalks here at some point?
Our official map shows a connection coming kind of opposite the drive through properties or is it Locust of East there, I think, to tie into the trail system of Stone Creek. So I could, and we do know that The former Dutch Village Center is has additional land that could be developed. So I could see this portion of the corridor, once the roads are straightened out, actually expanding. And as a matter of fact, probably if we would get into a wide road widening project, we may extend sidewalks both sides of the road.
Got it. So it would be more of sidewalks from this property to the east.
Yes.
Yeah.
This would probably be the tail end.
Okay.
And again, because of the easement area, the 15-foot easement area that we have in the overlay and the anticipation for widening the road, it didn't make sense to cause them to put in sidewalks today, only to move them at some future point if we do widen it.
Right. Right.
So that's the reason for the deferment.
Okay, got it. The only other comment would be that, you know, we discussed this morning at a transportation meeting that the HRG study from a couple of years ago that looked at the Middletown Road corridor and recommending access roads, and as future developments come along, to try to limit access drives onto Middletown Road. And so I know that your ordinance basically drove this from 4 access roads to 2. I guess I would just make the argument that in the future, I know that we're looking at that ordinance again, might even want to go further. And so maybe if this were being brought forward with even 1 access drive, it would be that much more preferable because it's just less access points along Middletown Road. So just a general comment.
Yeah, no, and I think the original plan, Brandon, came in with 4 separate driveways. I would guess, and you know, we asked them to join into 2. To get to 1, actually, it creates a little bit more impervious area to span the frontage of the lots as well. So it's a balance of stormwater and access. But yeah, we are having that section of the ordinance reviewed by HRG for consistency with the Middletown Road study.
Very good. Thank you.
Anyone else?
No more conversation. I'll make the motion that the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Middletown Road site plat 1312 be approved, subject to compliance with items A through M under the Department of Recommendation section of the second item, and also that it's moved that the requested waivers and deferments from the subdivision and land development ordinance are granted as noted under the explanation section of this agenda item. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That motion carries. Next item, D36, approval of resolution 1581, authorizing the submission of a grant request to Pennsylvania DCNR's C2P2 program for the Hershey Community Center project. Ms. Umbridge.
Thank you. Timing is really everything with this one. As you know, we've been working to identify potential funding programs that could help to support the Hershey Community Center, recognizing that the bids were rejected and the project is being re-scoped. Talking with both Matt and Chris, we decided that it did still make sense to submit an application to DCNR in this current funding round. The reason for that is that this process is not a fast process for DCNR. We'd be looking at submitting an application this year. Awards are typically made in the fall, and then they would issue a grant contract and go through reviewing the actual design and bid documents next spring. For DCNR, we would be looking at separating out whatever elements, if we were successful in receiving funding, into a separate contract to keep it more simple and clean for them. So in this case, we are looking to move forward with submitting an application only for 2 very community-oriented elements that we felt would be important to retain at the facility, again, recognizing that there are some changes that will likely be occurring or could be occurring to the design. So those 2 elements would be the outdoor slide and splash pad areas. We're estimating the total project cost for those to be $387,480. That figure is actually based on the bids that were received and reflects materials only, not installation. This is a 50-50 matching program, so we'd be looking at a grant request and a match of $193,740. We feel this amount is within a project that DCNR typically funds. Now, given our current position with this project and looking at rescoping some things, we could very well be in a position next spring where we're looking at submitting another application. But in terms of kind of getting in line, familiarizing the agency with the project, and seeing how things develop over the next few months, we felt that it made sense to apply. So this resolution is required to be passed by the board. The resolution authorizes the submission of the application, agrees to the terms and conditions, and authorizes the chairman to execute the grant agreement signature page if we're successful in receiving funding that becomes part of the contract.
Anyone have any questions? Thank you. That makes a lot of sense to move forward. I'll make the motion that we approve Resolution 1581 authorizing the submission of an application to ECNRC to P2 grant program, agreeing to the grant program terms and conditions, and authorizing me to execute the grant agreement signature page. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, Hershey Community Chorus has requested exemption from the amusement tax ordinance. In summary.
The township has received a request from the Hershey Community Chorus for an exemption from the amusement tax for paying on the events that they hold each year. The reason that they've requested it is because they're a nonprofit organization. However, the township's ordinance 353, in order to be exempt from the ordinance, events must involve the participation of students or be organized or benefit the school district or a public school or an organization affiliated with the school district or education. So based on the language that is in the ordinance, we recommend refusing or denying their request.
Thank you, Senator. I personally have been bothered by this ordinance for a long time because it does, to me, put an unnecessary burden on a lot of the nonprofits in the area, in particular the arts organizations that struggle just to keep the lights on and keep the bills paid. And most of those arts organizations run in a deficit, and the amount of money that they actually generate to the township tax rolls is very insignificant to the township but very significant to the nonprofit organizations. That being said, there are probably a lot of nonprofits in the area who may not even be aware of this amusement tax on them. They may not be complying, and I would really advocate and thank the Hershey Community Chorus for bringing this forward, that we table the decision tonight pending the ability to review the entire ordinance and come back hopefully in a relatively timely fashion with a review and revised ordinance that would treat the nonprofits that bring so much to the culture and the fabric of our community a little bit more favorably.
I support that proposition.
Anybody else have any thoughts? Or it's not as easy as one might think to take a tax ordinance and rewrite it, so this is something that I think all of us would like to invest some time in to make sure that we're doing right by the nonprofits in our area that bring so much to our community who are paying the same amusement tax or should be paying the same amusement tax that some of the for-profit operations are. So I'm going to make that motion then that we table the decision tonight pending our review of the ordinance with the hopeful return of the revised ordinance in the near future.
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Next item. This is not controversial at all, because you're all going to want to be there. Request for road closures for Pronio's 100th anniversary and community celebration on Sunday, June 2nd, 2019, from 3 to 10 p.m. Chief?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The request we received from Pronio's Market asking for road closures and parking restrictions for their 100th year anniversary and community celebration. Pronio's Market will have a DJ for music, food, and games for those attending the event. Most of the events will take place on the parking lot adjacent to Pronio's Market on the west side of the alley. However, some events will take place on the roadway in front of Pronio's Market. The date of the event is scheduled for June 2nd, 2019, and Pronio's Market is requesting the roadway be closed before, during, and after the time of the event from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. The actual event runs from 4 to 9, but we'll need some time to set and tear down afterwards. Pronio's Market will be responsible for placing and removing the barricades during the times of the road closures, and the road closures and the parking restrictions are being requested to make it safe for the persons attending the event. The parking restrictions, I know, wasn't really spelled out well in this. It's prior to the event to keep some of the parking mitigated, so when we do the road closure, there's not going to be as many people parked in those areas, so we can make the road closure a little bit easier.
Any questions for Chief?
No.
Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the road closures as explained by?
So moved.
All right, moved by Mr. Smith and seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. Final item on the agenda, permission to hold a firework display at the Hershey Country Club for a large group dinner event on Tuesday, June 4th, 2019 at approximately 9:45 p.m. Chief?
Thank you. Hershey Entertainment and Resorts is requesting permission to hold a fireworks display on Tuesday, June 4th, 2019 at approximately 9:45 p.m. The fireworks are for the conclusion of a large group dinner at the Hershey Country Club, and the display will last approximately 15 minutes. A certificate of insurance named the Township of Barry as an additional insured has been obtained and provided for review. Zambelli Fireworks will be the company responsible for the display. And if anybody doesn't know who that is, they provide the July 4th fireworks for the township. A company we've dealt with before. Jason White from Hershey Entertainment and Resorts is here if you have any other questions in reference to the fireworks display.
Any questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So
moved. So moved by Mr. Boyer. I'll second that motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. Board correspondence?
Chair, there's two more items on the agenda that were added.
Oh.
These are the road projects we mentioned.
Oh, I apologize. I don't have that on my copy. Okay. All right. Thank you. Item H2, award of contract for full depth reclamation MPR of Bullfrog Valley Road from Wood Road to 433 East and 45 feet west at the intersection of Roush Road. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On April 3rd, we had a pre-bid for both of this agenda item as well as the one after it. And met with the contractors, all the potential contractors, to explain to them exactly what our expectation is for both of these projects. So on April 10th, we held a bid opening, first for full-depth reclamation of Bullfrog Valley Road from Wood to Roush and a portion of Roush. We received two bids. One from E.J. Brenneman in the amount of $629,958.10, and one from Recon Construction Services in the amount of $735,863.50. Both of these companies have done road work for us in the past over many, many years. So they're both reputable firms. E.J. Brenneman's has done quite a bit of work for us over the years, both in coal and dirt recycling and microsurfacing and things of that nature. So they're both very reputable companies that we have experience with. And as a result of E.J. Brenneman being the low bid, we're recommending this be awarded to them in the amount of $629,958.10.
Any questions for Tom?
Yeah, I have a quick question. Tom, what was the process in determining that it was a full depth reclamation?
That road suffered a lot of damage during the 2011 flood with water getting in under it and in the sanitary sewer trench. So full depth reclamation is going to go down 10 to 12 inches, introduce Portland cement into the material. It's going to grind it all up, the existing road, the existing subgrade, add Portland to it, put it back down, compact it. There's two ways of doing FDR. One is with oil and one is with Portland. Structurally, Portland gives a better product because of cement. So we chose to go with the Portland cement to get some structure back in the base of that road. And then over top of that will be a leveling course and then the wearing surface put back in place.
Is any of this going to mitigate future flooding or future damage?
Well, mitigate the damage to it, yes.
Okay, it sounds like a Portland part would mitigate that.
It'll make the road structurally way better than it's ever been.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
And you might ask why $105,000, almost $106,000 difference. in the two bids. That is a result of Recon charging more, about $12 to $13 more a ton for their paving than did Brennan. We're talking about close to 4,000 tons of asphalt. So over that 4,000 tons, that's pretty close to $100,000 there. Both at the level is about 50 through 52 in the leveling course, and about another 50 in the wearing course. So that's about $100,000, and the other five is probably made could be a result of the fact that they're working on 283 and don't have to move in from somewhere any further than Middletown.
Tom, you said the low bid was Brennan?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Tom? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to award that contract on Bullfrog Valley Road to Brennan. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Wood. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And the next item, I2, award a contract for cold in place recycling in Sandhill Road from Forest Avenue to the field at Lancaster Mennonite School. Tom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the same day we had a second bid opening at 9:30. We only received one bid for the cold in place. A lot of people used to do these, not so much anymore. Some people went out of, a lot of people were going to pull that reclamation for everything. So we only had one contractor for the cold in place in the amount of $606,507.60, and that was Recon Construction Services. Now, the reason we're going with cold in place recycling on this road is structurally this road is far superior to that of Bullfrog. The wearing course on the top has oxidized and deteriorated, so this will take that off, introduce asphalt emulsion into it, put it back down as a base, and then leveling the wearing course over that. The other thing we're going to try and do here, the folks through the S-turns from Hilltop Lane, it would be Hilltop Lane down to Forest Avenue, experience a lot of water coming across their property. So as we go up the hill, we're actually going to remove material, try and lower the road several inches, perhaps 3 to 4. So that when we're done repaving, we're not dumping more water onto those properties that would be on the north side of Sand Hill through those estimates. So we're recommending approval of the only bid we have to Recon Construction Services in the amount of $606,507.60.
So Tom, all the storm water and all the rebuilding of both of those roads will be taken care of now for a lot of years.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Tom, is this just the cold in place? Is this just another type of, I learned about something called hot in place. Is there a difference between the two? Is one better than the other?
Hot in place usually revolves around the wearing course. And it's my understanding, it's relatively new, because I understand it to the Northeast. They do it a lot. Yeah, I know that guy was a PSAS. They do it a lot in the southern tier, across the south and into Texas and Arizona. I've heard a lot of bad things about it up here that it doesn't have a real good life expectancy in this area.
It's a good salesman.
I saw one place where they did that, and the road actually caught fire. So,
wow.
We've done this on quite a few
problems.
We've done cold in place on quite a few roads.
It holds up
in the township. Yeah, a lot in the village. Trying to think where else we did it, but we did quite a few in the village.
Thank you.
Tom, what did you budget for this?
Well, this was the $2 million.
No, I mean for this specific piece of it.
What is it?
For the Sandhill portion of it.
This was all rolled in to that $2 million budget.
Yeah, forgive me. I'm not asking what's in our budget, but in other words, the question is that you have one bidder.
Yes.
So there's nothing to compare it to. So I'm curious, what had you gone into the project thinking it might cost, and how that relates to the only bidder?
I thought it may be a little lower than what it is, but not a great deal.
Yeah.
The unit costs are a little higher than what they were. Now, we haven't done this for probably 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
So the unit costs are a little higher than they were 3 to 4 years ago, but not excessive.
Mm-hmm. And so you think that there was only one bidder, really, because there's just not many contractors doing this and they're busy here?
The other contractors that I talked to were, one was out of New York, Vestal Asphalt, and another one was out of State College. That was actually Hammaker. Hammaker used to do it, and when I called them to see if they get down this far, they told me they stopped doing it, and Recon does it all for them. If we've gone anywhere, I mean, I could have probably gone to somebody in Jersey, but then you're going to get whacked for moping in and moping out.
As a person who knows nothing about this, it just seems odd that there's so many roads out there and we're doing a process that contractors aren't doing.
Well, and that's what I said earlier. A lot of people are moving to full depth.
Yeah.
Based on the test cores we pulled, and we pulled many of both Sandhill and Bullfrog, there's enough of asphalt and coal tar and everything else on that road. I mean, structurally, the road's sound, it's just the top wearing is one way.
Okay. Any questions for Tom? If not, do I have a motion to award the contract for Colby Place Recycling and Sandhill Road from Forest Avenue to the field at the Lancaster Mennonite School to Recon Construction Services?
So
moved by Mr. Zamuda. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries. Now we'll go to board correspondence.
Yes, on Saturday, we will be having our Arbor Day celebration, and this year we will be doing that at Gelder Park. Everyone's invited to attend. Thanks to our department head, Tom, and Bob Piccolo, and a lot of volunteers. We've earned that recognition of Arbor Day or Tree City for more than 25 years, more than 27 years. So you're all welcome to attend. It'll be at Gelder Park, 9 o'clock this Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am.
I have nothing. Mark?
No, thank you.
Nothing.
Thanks.
Chief?
The only thing I have for tonight is also on Saturday, Penn State Health, along with our department, and in concert with the DEA, will be having a drug to take back event at the Pershing Medical Center over at 90 Hook Drive at the Academic Support Building. There will be a drive-through type thing, so you can just drive up, drop unused medications off, and get rid of those, get them out of your medicine cabinets. That'll be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They also have a couple other locations that are somewhat local. We have a link to their event flyer on our Crime Watch portal, so if you go on there, you'll be able to see the other locations that you can get to as well.
I saw Jill writing down, so I know that'll be in Friday's email last. Dave?
I have nothing to say. Thank you.
Anything else?
The hole of the pipe on Wood Road has reared its ugly head again. I don't know if anyone noticed that when they came in. We've had a problem for a number of years with the stormwater pipe from the pond at Oakmont across Wood Road to the waterway that goes down to the Celestial Garden down on Walkerville. That opened up today. DTMA and myself were out there. We plated that, but the road will close tomorrow sometime around 7. That's going to be excavated, that deteriorated pipe and its connections pulled out, and a new pipe put in. So I'm thinking it will be done tomorrow. I'm hoping it will be done tomorrow by the afternoon. I don't know that for sure.
Jill, would you get that information from Tom? We put that out on our social channels too.
Yeah, we did today earlier.
Yeah.
We have to leave early for work tomorrow if you're going to close the road on me.
Tom, I don't know if Tom or Matt, but every time I drive down there, I see that gully widening and deepening, and I'm wondering, what the status of that is and whether it's going to eventually undermine the walking paths right around there.
Well, we had some material that we put in there to lessen the effect of the water coming down through there. And that we did over the winter while the ground was frozen. DTMA is currently working on a grant to repair those ponds, do some redesign of the two ponds on that side, which will lessen the velocity and the volume of the water, as I understand it, that comes down through there.
Okay.
We did lose a portion of the bank down through there over the winter.
Yeah.
We've since rebuilt that, put that back in, and try to get some material in there to lessen the force of the water.
Okay.
Thanks. Don, while we're on the subject of subsidence, McCorkle Road, I know that's a DTMA problem with stormwater or sanitary sewers subsidence. Are you coordinating that at all, or do you have any idea when that road's going to be closed?
That was closed. That was closed yesterday, I believe. And they pulled it. They actually pulled off of that to come to Wood Road because of the traffic volumes on Wood as opposed to Corporal.
Okay.
So as soon as they're done on Wood, they're going back out there and finish that.
Thank you.
Back to Wood for a second.
I can't get rid of this.
I'm sorry. I probably already did this, but can you, if you haven't already, let the medical center know just so that they can alert their team members tomorrow, since that is a heavily traveled path in and out of the medical center. That'd be great. Thank you. No more questions for Tom. Clark?
I have nothing to add, please.
Cheryl?
I have nothing. Thank you.
Matt?
Just a quick reminder, since we won't have another board meeting before Saturday, May 4th, our annual fishing derby for kids 12 and under at Bullfrog Valley Pond, 8 a.m. on Saturday, May 4th.
And miles for Matt is this Saturday as well. Is there a road closures?
There are no road closures for that.
So that's happening down in Chocolatown.
That's correct. Yep.
And Matt, I'd like to mention that I attended Easter egg. I know you couldn't be there, but I was amazed how well organized that was. And what a great time all the kids had, all the parents.
Absolutely. Our staff does an amazing job. It's been one of the more popular community events that we hold every year, and it continues to grow. But thank you. I'll pass it over.
Matt, anything
for you?
Just on that Wood Road, on that grant, DTMA does have that grant in hand, so that was awarded. We're just waiting for the contracts to be signed. There's a conceptual design done already, so that grant will be used to actually do the construction of this basin. So hopefully that project will be here in the near future.
Excellent.
Thanks. Chuck?
Nothing
to be
No, nothing further.
Chuck?
I have nothing, thanks.
Just one item to report. Last Thursday evening, Supervisor Moyer and Weir and I spent the evening with the county for the State of County address, so that was rather interesting. It was a good event. I'm glad we were able to participate and hear all the wonderful things that are going on in Dauphin County right now. So, thank you.
Now we'll move on to the approval of accounts payable of $832,888.12 and payroll of $336,099.70. Do I have a motion to approve? Moved by Mr. Weir. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that also is approved for this evening. Our second and final session of visitor and public comments. Again, same rules. Please approach the podium. Let us have your name and address. Please try to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
I have a question first. I know you don't want to answer questions, but is there any plan to open up any of the pools for the summer? The proposed but on hold rec center project, while interesting, I think we have to keep in mind that the present facility only serves about 1,800 people, which is less than 10% of the population of Darin Township, which means 90% of the township population never sets foot in the plaza, we call it now. And I'll kind of talk from a little experience here. I was past president of the Hershey Aquatic Club. I was on the Darin Township Park and Rec Board back when we were actually policy-making board. And one thing that somebody said a long time ago is, if you build it, they will come. Don't believe that. So if we build this 50-meter pool, that doesn't mean they're going to come. And it was interesting. I sat at the one meeting with a guy back here from a swim magazine, and he was telling me he did not know I was against it, but it was kind of good because I got a lot of information from him. He said the PIAA is excited about this, and the NCAA is excited about this, and I got worried. Because I'm thinking, the PIAA does nothing unless they're making money, and the same with the NCAA. And USA Swimming is not going to come in and give money to build this pool. That's my big concern. A 50-meter pool is for competitive swimmers, which is, talk about a small number of people. We're talking a real small number of people. So I think we have to really look at this. And is the 50-meter pool, and I know people say, well, that's only part of the cost, but it's still something that only a very small minority of people would use. And the other thing I think is, we're working on a lot of emotion here. Over the last year, people come up here and have the kids talk, everybody talk. I think the bottom line is, we have to put emotion aside and talk about the strong, fiscally responsible Army with this project. All right, thanks for your time.
Luke Lenny, 156 West River Avenue, Hershey. I am not going to speak about the community center tonight. I am going to speak briefly about the community chorus. I am not tied to the chorus other than my wife sings it. Okay. Several months ago, I spoke unofficially on behalf of the chorus once I found out they were paying the amusement tax. And Susan Court did what she thought was the right thing to do, and she reiterated it this evening. Nobody wants to see nonprofits pay the amusement tax. So, and I'm also, I should give full disclosure here, I'm also the tax collector, but I'm only the real estate tax collector. I'm not the amusement tax collector. Okay? And when I spoke about the community chorus, I also had no idea I would be chairing somebody's political campaign this year, Skip Becker. So I also have to say that I am certainly not Skip Becker's spokesperson, but in speaking with Skip and his team and numerous other people around the community, everybody seems to be in favor of revamping this. So I do appreciate the honesty, and I do appreciate the intent of the board and the school board for looking into this. People really, a lot of people in this room probably don't realize the amusement tax. So AGNR pays about $3 million a year in the amusement tax. Challenge Sports pays, don't hold me to this, maybe 10, 12 grand, maybe it's 14. I don't, it doesn't really matter. It's thousands, okay? The Hershey Community Courts just sent in a check for $86.25. They pay 75 cents a ticket. So if you take 86.25 divided by 0.75, that's 115 attendees. So $3 million AGNR, a few thousand dollars Challenge Sports, and the community chorus pays a whopping $86.25. One organization in town does not pay the tax. They should be paying the tax. It is a for-profit amusement facility, and that is Indian Echo Caverns. They were wrongfully exempted. What happened. I'm not sure what we can do about it. And I think another company has now recently started paying it, which is the place on Chocolate Avenue. Help me out here.
Escape room.
It's true that the community chorus is the only nonprofit that pays this. None others do. But in fairness to them, they don't know to pay. I would venture to guess that 9.9 out of 10 people in the township think the amusement tax is only for AGNR. And I'm not an attorney, and other than having my legal counsel read this, it states that to be exempt, and I do agree with, who said it? Ms. Henry, sorry. That, to be specific, to be exempt, a majority of the members need to be either students or administrators, and 100% of the profits need to benefit the public school. So I thank you for looking into it. My recommendation would be to find a way to exempt all nonprofits from this ordinance. Maybe a creative way to do it is to say, well, we can't really exempt nonprofits, but we could say on an annual basis, if that nonprofit owes less than, just making this up, $300 a year, the way it's written now, every church that charges, that has a ticket for an event, really should be paying the tax. I don't want to see churches pay the tax.
Churches
are
not exempt.
Churches are not exempt.
Not true.
Churches are not exempt.
Well, they're having some sort of an athletic activity fundraiser, but not just the church itself.
If a church has an event that they charge a ticket for, if any organization, any nonprofit organization has an annual gala event, a charity event, technically they're supposed to pay the tax. I don't want to see them paying the tax. So if there is a way to exempt all the nonprofits,
I think we just have to be a little careful, and that's why we need some time.
We do, because...
Because some for-profits are connected to nonprofits, and we don't want to do something that's going to adversely...
I know it's complicated, because hypothetically, or maybe not hypothetically, you can say the Rose Gardens, which pay the tax. The Hershey Theater pays the tax because the ticketing is done by HENR. I get all that. That's why I said maybe we could get creative, because if the community chorus cannot be exempt, and I understand by the ordinance they technically should not be exempt, then I think every other nonprofit needs to start paying it. I don't want to be knocking on those doors.
That's why we need some time to work through. And just to correct the Hershey Symphony Orchestra does pay it, but they pay it through HENR, so it does come to the township. But I agree, there are a lot of
companies. Yeah, and any small businesses that use the theater also pay. I think the dance companies pay it. All I'm saying is I support what you're doing, but please don't lose sight of that. And there are creative ways to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also, what's the process?
Sorry, I was just going to say there is a mechanism to ask for exemption for nonprofits. It's in the ordinance.
It's in the ordinance? All right. I didn't see it.
And that's what I was saying earlier on, but it would not have, you wouldn't have met the criteria.
Right, there is a mechanism. Right. It says you may apply for an exemption, but then it gets a definition. There's a paragraph on the definition of an exemption.
That's the definition.
Yeah.
So this has come up several times, and we're talking about it's not a whole lot of dollars.
We're talking about nothing, but it's nothing to the township, but it's a lot to the nonprofit.
Exactly. But it's important policy. Here's the point, is that I think it makes sense. You're the chair, right?
Yeah.
And you're the tax collector. So
basically of real estate tax.
Of real estate tax.
He's the chair of the tax bill. Of the tax board.
And you're on that board.
I'm a non-voting member of the tax board. Because I get a salary.
I think it makes sense.
Which I don't keep.
I'm happy to be a part of
that. I think it makes sense for a committee of people to come up with a good idea, bring it forward, and then we can do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to work with you on that, too.
Yeah.
But it's important to know I'm a non-voting member of the tax board.
You got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right. Next.
See, let
it
know. Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court. I believe it was last week we were supposed to get the phase two of the peer report back. Today's 23rd. Have we got that yet? Okay. When we do get it, when you get it, it'll be published.
So the phase two of the report was basically put on hold. So this came in, we realized that we need to pause, regroup, and figure out what we're doing. So it did make sense for to continue an engagement with SFA based on a plan that where the programming might change.
Okay.
And so we basically put SFA on hold. We said, all right, wait, we need to change the scope a little bit. SFA is going to continue to help us, but the scope is going to change slightly.
Okay. So our $17,500, $18,000, that's kind of, we got credit forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So in other words, I don't know that they even started that engagement. That's phase two of that engagement.
I think they should have, Justin. I mean, that was 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, you guys approved that?
Well, Wayne, if you look at the timeline, we were literally in the kickoff of it. So they might have some hours.
Right.
Right when those bids came in, we said, week. Why would we develop a plan?
I get it.
So we paused.
I was just curious, yeah, when it was due last week, I was just curious with those numbers, because they were going to put numbers to the functions and the activities and so forth.
Yeah.
And would it give it a little bit more definition to what some of the folks have been up here talking about tonight? So I was just wondering.
Yeah, but just so you know, the timing was such that I think we might have been a week to a week and a half into that.
Okay. All right, makes sense. As far as, you know, what Mark was talking about earlier, getting a budget together and picking a number of $20 million, many of us that have worked in P&L over their careers, you put a budget together and you know, sometimes the CEO, CFO, or whoever's going to come to you, and they're going to say, what are your needs? Do we need new software? Do we need new hardware? Do we need new infrastructure to support growth or whatever it is? And then what are your wants, okay? Well, you know, I'd like to have a golf cart to get from one end of the building to the other, but it's not a need. So when we're talking about needs and wants, you need to, in my opinion, the board should be looking at that, putting a number out there, and working from that as far as wants and needs. And more importantly, where's the money coming from? How are you going to support that infrastructure growth, whatever it's going to be, with a community center? And there's nothing that says that we can't start out and add on to anything 2, 3, 4 years down the road. Start out with possibly a renovation, have an indoor pool, put in a 50-meter pool sometime down the road once you've already reduced your debt and it's not a burden on the taxpayers of the township. You know, earlier some folks said that there's many people in town that are for this community center. There's no doubt. But there's no doubt that a majority of the residents of this township do not want a $32 million albatross that does not generate revenue for the township. It was proven that it would cost over, your deficit would run over $580,000 a year easily. And it will generate revenue for the money that's going to go out of town. It'll go to the guys that own the hotels, the restaurants, and everything else. Yes, it'll support some lower level paying jobs in the community, but the majority of it's going to go outside the community. Thank you.
You are no stranger
to this room. Hello, my name is Kelly Orley. During the township meeting on October 9th, I pledged to raise $1,000 for a new community center. I am here today to present a check for $1,808.22. Thank you to everyone who contributed to the fundraiser in support of the community center. I would also like to continue to show my support for our new community center with the 50-meter competition pool. And I urge you to remember why the 50-meter pool was included in the original design.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll pass this down to people with good deposits. Thank you, Kelly. For those of you who don't know, in addition to giving some birthday money, Kelly did a raffle and sold raffle tickets to win a 3-minute shopping spree at Carnes, which I think was last week, and it's kind of a blur because I was there at 6 in the morning to watch the winner and Kelly run through the grocery store. My husband and I were there taking pictures. It was a lot of fun and a great fundraiser and a very creative, dedicated, passionate young lady, and appreciate all that you've done to support the project and most importantly to support the community. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Matt Latrell. I live at 254 Cedar Avenue. And just a couple quick things. First of all, I'm in favor of the community center and the pool as it's currently designed. I think it presents an immense amount of value to the community. But along with that, I do want to say that I'm a little challenged by the statements of lack of planning, because I've been overwhelmingly impressed with the amount of planning that the township has pursued over the last number of years. And this just didn't come out of nothing. You know, it evolved over many years prior to that. So greatly appreciative that the township stepped up, responded to a clearly growing need and community effort there. So
that was essentially it, other than Chairman Court, thank you very much for conducting a very cordial meeting and your comments, and I greatly appreciate the fact that you continually state that we are here, you are, everybody here is here in the interest of the community, and we need to continue to pull in that direction and not be quite so divisive. So I applaud you for that, and everyone up here for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew.
Dan Clough, 84 Southwest Drive, here in Hershey, Derry Township. I knew Matt was going to say something similar to what I did, but I figured I'd come up anyway. In my day job, in addition to being a supporter and co-leader in youth athletics here in the community, I've worked with the public sector in consulting and in law before that on very complex projects with federal, state, local. And to mirror Matt's point, I'll say that in every case, it takes an immense amount of effort, an immense amount of planning to get to where you have with this. So I wanted to applaud what you've all done. I've seen you all act with immense integrity, professionalism, and hard work in the business case that you put together and in the business case that we approved. I'm a supporter of that business case. I'd like to see it move forward. Thinking back to a couple of the comments that were made, which I think were great, one by Mr. Susie, was that the first would be no pool, no option B. As a supporter of youth aquatics here in the community, I will say that that's my chief concern right now. We're all doing this to drive a vision forward for the future, and I think we're all worried it's not just about aquatics, it's about multiple sports, multiple wellness activities, and I think we have to get this moving, and I think that's what a lot of us are saying. The second point I wanted to point out is Chairperson Court's comment that we don't want to start from scratch. The one thing that I would encourage here, and again Mr. Susie mentioned, is to keep the business case in mind. The prudent business case in mind and really take a good look at this and get it moving. If we don't keep moving, I think two things will happen. One is we'll move away from the vision, and it was a good vision that we're doing, and all the hard work that folks like Mr. Mandia and Ms. Umbra have done, all of the efforts for grants, all of the hard work, the investment, the planning, we'll take a step back. And the second thing that will happen is we'll delay, to Mr. Susie's point, we'll delay the project. And I think we're all working towards the same goal of getting the best possible activities and community efforts going for the community. So I want to thank you for your vision. It takes courage to have this vision, especially when it's looking forward to the future. When all of us taxpayers want to pinch pennies, you're looking for our kids and our grandkids and things for the future. And the last time we did that was 60 years ago. So I thank you for all your hard work and where you've taken us and where you're going.
Hi, Crystal Orley, 906 Briarcrest Drive. My daughter's been up here a couple times, and I'm not exactly a public speaker, but I figured if she can do it, I should get up here. just a couple things. I don't want to rehash everything that's already been said, but obviously I'm in support of the project. A couple things that stuck out to me, a gentleman up here that was in opposition to the project. He brought up the fact that the current center, only 10% of the public is currently using it in the community. And I actually think that speaks in support of the project. I think the current center is so limited with what it can offer the community in size that we're not meeting that need by going through with the vision and the design that's already been put ahead, been put out there. We're going to be able to reach so much more of the community. So that number is definitely going to increase, and I think you can't look at that number as a negative for the project right now. The other thing that stuck out to me was there was a comment that was made that a 50-meter pool is only for competitive swimming. I think that couldn't be any further from the truth. I think actually the fact that the 50-meter pool is in the design will benefit the other aquatics programs just as much, if not more, than the competitive swim team. And I think if you're not around 50-meter pools or the swimming community, you might not understand that a 50-meter pool can be split up into two 25-yard pools. So you can have a lot of different programs in the pool at the same time. take that away and all of that opportunity goes away with it. Now you're limited to what we currently have, which is basically one program in the pool. So if they're taking up a couple hours, that time is not available to the other community programs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bring it home. Okay? All right. First off, I want to, I sit and I listen when people talk. I haven't heard anybody parents talking about the after-school program for children. I haven't heard anybody really step up representing our motor center. All I'm hearing is pool, pool, water, water. The lady that said she spent 10 years meeting with the medical center, with corporations, businesses, Hershey, and got nowhere. I think that's the handwriting on the wall. They had no interest in backing it. They didn't step up. So now it's up on the township to step up, the way I perceive that.
And I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I do believe that she said she was meeting with them in partnership to find solutions. Not that
right, yes, yeah, what I'm saying, but they didn't take a bite. They didn't bite.
I don't know that it was for them. They've been supporting a project.
Not money?
Yeah. How much money do you have? Mr. Game, I don't want to.
Okay. What I'm saying is, I didn't see anybody step up and say, here's $10 million. We want to do this for the aquatic team. The Deary Township School District, they get more taxes than we get. Let them build a water pool. Why should we, the residents of the township, pay for something that, as stated, majority of the people really have no need for.
Mr. Gamm, I bet you could say that about just about everything in this.
Exactly, but again, I say we need a new rec center. We need a new rec center, no question about it. They need a place to swim. I realize that. Where are they going to go for the next 2 years? Good luck finding a place. I hope you get a good place and meet your needs. But at the same time, let's look at, let's pass the hat. The aquatic club wants to be involved. Raise $10 million. Bring that to the table. Then sit down and be part of the plan on what the community needs and what they need versus what the community really can afford. So I would say nothing should come before December. I'm asking that right now. Secondly, I'm asking you, are we going to be paying more consultant fees? Is this next phase? Are we going to have a consultant fee for the redesign?
Unless you want us to redesign it, I think we're going to have to work with
you. Well, again, as I said earlier, apparently the people that were working with you really failed you. So I think it's time to look for new consultants.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble.
All right, one other question. Okay, I'm in support of a rec center, don't get me wrong. But when you see what we're looking at and what it's going to cost us, it's going to cost us this for the next 20 years. Thank you.
No one's rushing to the mic to beat you, so I think it's all you.
Thank you. I'm Steve Bennett. I live at 1231 East Derry Road. And there have been a few discussions tonight that prompted my interest. Number one, I believe it was Mr. Engel who's in favor of sidewalks. I am too. They provide a lot of safety. And I was hoping that the supervisors could have someone just walk around Hershey and record where a sidewalk ends and begins again. On the street I live on, they built this huge condominium palace on the right hand, on the left hand side of the road near the golf course. It has a beautiful sidewalk that only those residents who live there use. From the rest of that road, from the golf course to 422, there is no sidewalk. And then there was a second discussion about road deterioration and water itself. I was hoping the supervisors could help me, help the residents of Hershey, find out what's causing the water runoff to go through Palmdale, flooding that public park. I walked from the creek at Hershey Park to where they built new houses in Campbelltown on the hill. And what Campbelltown did was it eliminated the lake that used to be a retention pond on top of the hill. So water runs right down the hill, through the creek, flooding Redlands, goes, and to make matters worse, that new housing complex and the school they built on the left-hand side of South Lingle Road has the water running toward Hershey. It goes through the housing complex on the right, behind the, I guess there are 15 or 20 mobile homes in that low-lying area. So I'm hoping maybe somebody who's a lot more intelligent than me can figure out what to do with all that water. And finally, almost last, all the water we've been getting, the rain, has made the ground under the roads extremely soft. And in the alley behind my house, North 4th Street specifically, we now have 2-foot ruts from the garbage trucks because the ground is so soft. And I'm hoping that the supervisors can ask somebody to go out and start inspecting the roads to find out what we need. And let me finalize my comments with what we need by addressing your favorite topic, the supervisor's favorite topic right now, the rec center. I was an opponent of the $32 million rec center, but I'm a proponent of a rec center because Derry Township needs it. And my hope is that the supervisors will engage the public from both sides, proponents and opponents, to reach some semblance of an agreement on what we really need and do it. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else this evening?
Again, I think Mr. Gamble and Mr. Susie had made some very salient points. The point I'd like to make is what I've seen in the infographics, past tense, are not what I would call, and we have members of the veterans here, Mr. Zamuda and Mr. Moyer, who have heard the 7 P's, which I've substituted the word painful instead of the one that four-letter word that is frequently used, but proper prior planning prevents painfully poor performance. Not that there hasn't been a lot of planning, but what I've seen in the infographics are what I would call advertising or marketing techniques to accentuate the positives. We have not seen the negatives. In fact, we've heard one person say that this tax increase amounts to 4 visits of the family to a restaurant. That's just the portion of the infographics that said the initial. What we don't point out, it's not a $32 million swimming pool or hole, depending on whether sinkholes are appropriately accounted for. But over 20 years, it's over $60 million. And what we need is what's known in government circles, particularly the military, is quality assurance, quality control. You also present the negatives, the total cost, the taxes. The debt is being doubled. Let's recognize that and put out an appropriately fair presentation, not something that's pro or con, but go for what is needed. And there are other facilities available. We should not be in competition with for-profit. Let the people that are trying to earn a living earn that living. But also recognize there's other facilities available. We have schools, gymnasiums, sports courts that are available. They're located where the children are that need after-school activities. Perhaps you can have masks and the people that are laid off during this
interim, utilize those facilities to keep those that actually need or want usage of such recreational facilities. But again, let's classify and work from the bottom up. Identify the needs as opposed to the wants. I've heard a lot of wants described as needs. I'm an old farm boy. Don't feed it if you can't eat it. And I'm seeing a lot of people going for the escargot or the filet mignon, and I've survived on a diet that doesn't include that. Thank you for all your work. I don't mean to demean what's done, but we have used the term leverage. It hasn't come to pass. Recognize that. And if you can provide the statistics, the pros and the cons under analysis, quality assured, quality controlled, be much appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Trust.
Is that a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
So moved.
All of us are so moved. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all for coming tonight. Oh.